This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
Now, on the immediate side, I've always been obsessed with cleanliness. Maybe it's part of a, you know, a family thing for me, right? In some ways, it feels like things should have been clean and sterilized from day one. You know, you hear United Airlines, you hear of all these hotel chains who are pledging, like, you know, world-class cleaning. And well, that should be the standard.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have suddenly been, you know, raised. Maybe it's a marketing thing, but I don't think it is a marketing thing. You know, I'm sure many people have experienced, you don't get your late checkout anymore at the hotel because literally the cleaners have to spend hours and hours cleaning things, sanitizing things. But this part of it, right, where there's a lot more expenditure on cleaning supplies. I mean, for any of the listeners who are stock traders, you know, a popular trade used to be, what was it, Kleenex or Clorox, the tissue company and other companies. Great, great trades because, you know, a lot of demand for that. But that demand is going to wane over time, obviously. Are you seeing... And you know, let's talk a bit about Mero too, because you're in the sector where you're tracking and reducing waste. Often a cleaner comes and will throw out, you know, a toilet roll, for example, right? Just because that's process. And they don't, you know, that's just standard policy. But if there's still some, you know, supplies available, why throw it away? Why not reuse it? We're living in a world where sustainability is more important. Talk to us about sustainability of supplies and tracking. And what's going to happen through COVID and beyond?
Yeah, so I think it's easy to think about something as simple as a toilet roll or a paper towel roll and think it's not significant for the operations of a lot of these buildings. But what we've really predicated ourselves on is things like that, which are providing everyday value in the property. I mean, the just to talk simply, the tenant experience now of having no soap or no tissues or things like that to sanitize your hands or to even use the restroom is no longer going to be acceptable. But there's, like you said, there is that major balance of the cleaning companies now dealing with tighter budgets and needing to spend more time actually cleaning, not just checking on dispensers. There's no real solution for them right now that exists. Their routine is not going to be the same as it used to because, as we said, different areas of the building are going to be occupied at different rates throughout the course of the day or throughout the course of the weeks. And those cleaners have no insight into that. Before this, as we said, 97% occupancy was the rate of occupancy in Toronto. That's going to be what people are thinking down to around 30 to 40% on any given day, but could rise to above 50% or 60% on a busy day with the new sort of flexible work arrangements. So that sort of dynamic, that dynamic occupancy is going to be met by something that we're going to call dynamic cleaning.
So let's dive into that a bit more. What you're saying, a big shift you're seeing is that you had stable occupancy. It was sort of easy to predict. And there wasn't a need to predict occupancy. I mean, it was 97%. Utilization of buildings and how they're used is changing now to be more dynamic. That's okay. Going to wreak havoc across, you know, supply chains for cleaning materials and consumables. What you're predicting is that the concept of occupancy is going to change. You're going to have varying levels of occupancy throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. What's the significance of that?
It's really just being able to forecast and predict very high spends, such as cleaning labor and cleaning consumables. It's really kind of to your earlier point, it's ushering in sort of this new feature of utilizing the proper building data in real time and using that to influence your decision making, not some spreadsheet that was made in the 1990s that still just happened to work in up till 2019. That was kind of the way that it was done all the way up until a year ago. And now it's really, I think, you know, kind of lit up a light bulb for a lot of these property owners to start to say, hey, maybe there's some inefficiencies within these contracts. We haven't felt the squeeze as we have up until now with our rentals to really make it make a change with some of these inefficiencies. But now I think is really the time.
So there's a whole surge in interest around workplace occupancy analytics, or I would say real-time occupancy or real-time data around occupancy. There's many various approaches. There's approaches where you have sensors on a desk or a meeting room. You've got approaches where you've got a camera and they use computer vision technology to sort of detect movement of people. And then you've got Wi-Fi based approaches.
Okay.
What's going to stick?
Yeah, so for us, what our hypothesis or thesis is the hardware is not the important part about what goes into the building. It's really the data that is produced. So having extremely high price points on hardware in order to roll out what we think is fairly simple data, all you need at the end of the day for most property managers is an occupancy rate and the total number of occupants, say, in a specific room. And from there, all of the data is really based on that. And add into that the consumable side, and that's kind of like your immediate ROI. As you said, reducing some of the wastages and just reducing some of the time that the cleaners are spending checking on these restrooms, that gets you your quick ROI on a low investment of hardware. That's really our thesis into the market is, you know, this simple peel and stick device, very, very low or no hardware cost, and able to be realized that return on investment much, much, even that much faster, means the product's going to be quite literally sticky. And that's a play on what our sensors essentially are as peel and stick devices.
So what you're really saying is that in the future, buildings will be smart. And in order to be smart, you need occupancy data. What you've said, though, is that you need actual occupancy data to a room level. Is that granular enough? Can you deduce just by the number of people in a certain room or total number of people in a building? Can you, with that, get enough data around the likelihood that, you know, supplies will be used and also all the other things needed to power smart buildings? Smart buildings here could mean, you know, buildings that are more efficient with how they use energy, like your air conditioning systems. What do you think's needed? Do we need to go down to the desk level, or is the room level sufficient?
So our perspective on the market is that there's going to be many different verticals within the commercial building that it takes an entire company in order to master. We've chosen the cleaning and the hygiene vertical. So drilling right into the consumables and drilling into the occupancy as sort of an additional to that, we're able to give enough information that's granular enough for the cleaning staff to make a decision on whether or not they need to clean the building. And soon, whether or not the supplier needs to top up that building with more consumables, and being able just to communicate on that vertical. I think there will be other complementary companies that will exist in the HVAC vertical, or other complementary companies that will exist even on the desk occupancy vertical. But it takes an entire company to do that, and then there will be a way that all of, you know, us companies or us microservices can collaborate across the entire smart building. I think that's going to be the future of these buildings, and that is starting to get painted.
Your success, and I like the term you're using here, microservices. These microservices are disrupting boring areas of prop tech, really, you know. I mean, cleaning and HVAC, things we take for granted, right? You need infrastructure. You need access to data so you can evolve your offering to the next level.
Yes, exactly. And to do that, it'll need to be a cohesive ecosystem where all of the, you know, data providers are working across in unison for the benefit of, you know, this, you know, really what is a smart building. You can add sensors and your building's still not smart. It's, in my opinion, it's not smart until you have many different systems working with one another. And prop tech in and of itself, as you know, the takeoff has been slower than we've expected, I think largely because of this. You know, this strategy is still being developed, and over the past year or so, we've really started to see it take a big step forward.
So When we look at the different market segments within PropTech, you went for the cleaning vertical. Now, here's the thing with real estate. It's quite boring at times, but that's what makes it so exciting and interesting. It's so boring. It's been so slow to adopt innovation. Cleaning of all places, my God. I mean, you know, that's not the most... any entrepreneur likes the idea of building the next Facebook, the next Tesla, right? You're here, you're building the next company to help make cleaning more efficient. Talk to us about the cleaning vertical. It's a big market, I assume, but could you quantify it for us? How big is this market, and what's the significance of you know, the upside for companies to work with Mero? What are the savings?
Yeah, so it's about a $7 to $8 billion market in the United States, but it's really been marked by margins of less than 1% sometimes.
1%.
We know of one company that
had, wow.
Correct. Yeah, 1% profit margins. So extremely razor thin margins, and that's just the nature of labor based industries. And I think when you take a step back and from a macro perspective, what is technology really helping humans do? It's to improve or reduce the amount of labor that they have to do in a lot of these instances. Cleaning is just one of those areas that has never really seen that attention. I think people tried to leap to the, you know, automated scrubber or the robotic vacuums. It's a bit of a leap because, you know, you need to clean between the nook and the cranny of the sink and the mirror, and no robot's able to do that at this point.
The robots are a threat to the you know, common worker here at the front line, and that's going to obviously encounter resistance.
Exactly. So what we really set out to do is provide that supplement to the cleaner, because even if you're a cleaner, if you put yourselves in the shoes of a commercial cleaner, they don't want to be spending that time doing monotonous work like checking in the restroom, poking their head into the stall, checking on the dispenser. They would rather be doing things that are valuable and that are useful to the building. And especially nowadays, those sanitizations, those are all the more critical. So we're just helping the cleaning staff be the most useful and most valuable to the property. And in the end, of course, that's a benefit to the property because they're getting all of the benefits of that as well.
So in a world where you succeed with your vision, what does the future of cleaning look like? And what's the direct impact to the owners of real estate and the consumers?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think the key word here is transparency. We're creating transparency in a place where it's never existed before, between the property and their cleaning contractors, between the property and their suppliers and distributors. We're going to create the place that shows the real-time actual usage of supplies and the performance metrics of those cleaners so that the property can get the best experience. What's going to result from all of that is improved cleaning performance. So cleaners are going to be able to have less times where supplies run empty and a tenant finds an empty soap dispenser or an empty toilet paper roll right down to the bottom of it. The tenant is going to be able to bring up their application, their tenant app, which they have all of their building microservices on, and be able to check if the nearest washroom has been cleaned in the past hour. They're going to be able to understand whether or not the soap dispenser or the Purell hand sanitizer around the corner is going to have soap before they even get there. That's really the picture that we're trying to paint here. And just like you, we're kind of very meticulous when it comes to cleaning, and we want to make sure that that's a reality that people can continue to sustain in the future.
Nathan, the example you cite sounds so obvious. I've been to restaurants and I've gone to the toilet and I've seen a piece of paper, a timesheet, that marks how often the restaurant toilet room has been cleaned. And this is, by the way, a process. Believe it or not, this is what companies call cutting edge process. You know, we have timesheets. We ensure that cleaning happens every X hours or whatever. Useless. I'm in there and like, there's no supplies. I mean, what the hell? I can't use the toilet, for God's sakes, right? So it's such an obvious problem. As a consumer, you experience the pain when you reference an example like that. And then you think to yourself, well, there must be a better way of doing it. And so your idea is to use sensors to track the supplies and to measure the, you know, to improve that aspect where you're not just doing a random shift you're more intelligently dispatching cleaners to locations based on when supplies are running low. Does that capture the essence of what you're trying to achieve?
Yep, that definitely captures the core essence and the first product that we have in the market. And I think as we scale, as I said, we're really moving upwards into the market. So once that product's out there in the field, your supplier will immediately understand if you're low on inventory, and without even needing to send a sales rep out to the building, they can dispatch out and send a new shipment of supplies. From there, obviously, the property wants to expand their kind of breadth of suppliers that they work with. So the more and more of these suppliers that start to work with more buildings, you start to create a commercial marketplace and what we are, kind of politely calling the Amazon for commercial, kind of democratizing the access for commercial properties to these simple products like paper towels and soaps and toilet papers, because you shouldn't have to be only buying product from the supplier that happens to be about a 20-minute drive away. You should be getting the best product for your equipment in the building that fits your budget and can essentially fit what the needs are for the building.
Well, what percentage of cost goes to cleaning for your average building? And you might want to sort of clarify what the average building is.
Sure. So for a mid to large size building, about a 30 to 40 story office building, the cleaning labor spend is anywhere between $1 million to $1.5 million, and the consumable spend is probably anywhere from $300 to $400K. Consumables being paper towels, toilet papers, soaps, garbage bin liners, things of that sort. We've predicted the inefficiencies of cleaning are probably somewhere between 20 to 30%. And the inefficiencies in actual supply usage are between 30 and 40%. So that means about 30 and 40% of supplies are wasted of that consumable spend. So for every single building across a property manager's portfolio, they could be wasting anywhere between $100K to $200K. So that's millions across the portfolio and even millions more in the cleaning labor spend. Obviously, that being said, there's a lot more to be gained within those numbers.
And the numbers you mentioned, what is that typically as a percentage of total OPEX?
We find the cleaning and consumables anywhere between 10 to 15%, which is the second largest OPEX item next to the heating and HVAC.